Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. You probably haven't seen that in a while. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Holy Spirit, I want you to bless my people and have me say something today that helps in that effort. Pray it in your name, Jesus. How many reading the book still and praying? And most everybody, if you're not, you ought to start. You know, you say, "Well, I don't read. I just read it once." But you know, the more you read it, the more you pray it, the more you meditate on these scriptures, the more the Holy Spirit reveals to you about this. Okay? And this thing can actually go on for the rest of your life if you want. And they say, "Well, what is this prayer of Jabez? What made him just stop what he was doing and saying, there was this guy called Jabez?" Well, the reason is because the prayer he prayed was in perfect line with what God's promised. Okay? And so when somebody begins to respond to God in faith and pray, speak back to Him what He's promised, it gets His attention. But I want to talk today about the reason why. I mean, why should we even want to be blessed? Why does God want to bless us? What's the reason why? Because if it's just for my greed, if it's just so I can have a bunch, if it's just so I can walk and everybody will go, "Whoo, look at all he has," then it hasn't accomplished anything, has it? Just pull me further away from God. But why be blessed? I want to start off with something, though. You know, religion has taught us to almost think, well, to think that wealth or money is bad, it's evil. It's taught us that everything in this world is evil, and you better not pay attention. You better not go after the things in this world. And it's like wealth. Because I listened to a preacher preach the other day, and it was like wealth was a dirty word. But yet when he got done preaching, he begged the people for some money so the church could stay open. Now, how many know there's something wrong with our thinking? And we think in lines that it's all evil. Some instances. The rich man and Lazarus, and we preach the rich man was in hell. Well, he wasn't in hell because he was rich. He was in hell because he didn't know God. He didn't go after God. He went after his wealth instead of God. You with me? We like the story of the widow and the mites, and we go, well, let me just, we go, rich people gave out of their abundance, but this little widow lady gave everything she had. Well, is that the way Jesus was telling the story? The rich man gave out of their abundance. It's wrong to be rich. Is that what Jesus said? Let me just read you out of Mark. It says, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And it says, and many who were rich put in much. Well, how many know if you got more to put in, you're going to put more in? Anybody here today? Get with me so we can get done here. Well, see, but we read that, what, you know, Jesus didn't go, and the rich people gave out of it. No, he said there was many that gave much to the treasury. But then he goes on and says, but then one poor little widow woman came and threw in two mites. Okay, but the lesson here isn't wrong to be rich. No, the lesson here is if you're rich, it doesn't make you any big shot with God. If you're rich, what he's trying to say is just because you're rich and you're able to put a whole bunch in, you might not have gave the biggest offering in the church that Sunday. It might have been the person that only had a dollar or two and they put it all in. Do you understand the lesson? Okay, and he says it again in Luke. I won't go. But you know, we talked a few weeks ago about the rich man, the rich young ruler, and how he went away. You know, well, he was rich. And the reason he walked away was because his money had him. God, Jesus, he said, what must I do, Jesus? And Jesus said, well, you obey. And he quoted him the commandments. And the man said, well, these things I've done since my youth. Well, you know why the man was rich? Because he had lived the Word. You with me? He had done what God said since he was young. And so then Jesus says, okay, you think you got it all wrapped up here, so can you give it all away and come follow me? And said he went away sorrowful because he had much. You with me? He went away sorrowful because he was more dependent. Jesus was saying, depend on me now and not on your riches. And he couldn't do it. And then when he walked off, Jesus said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples flipped out. What? How come? Oh, well, what? It says they were amazed. And Jesus said, hold it, kids, hold it. Says children in here, says hold it. It's okay. And he talks about getting 100-fold. You can't give up anything for the gospel's sake without God giving it back to you in abundance. And then he goes on and he says, it's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, or a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples flipped out again. You ought to read the story. And they said, well, who can be saved then? They must have had something. This is what I'm trying to get to. Our thinking holds us back. Now, all the world and the wealth of the world is not wicked. Let me read you a verse. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 31. Are you with me? It says, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning was the sixth day. Do you hear what he's saying? He saw everything. He saw the earth and everything he had put in the earth. And he saw his man that he'd created out of the dust of the earth. And he looked at all of his creation and he said, it's good. And there's that word indeed again. It was in Jabez's prayer, by the way. It's good. Let me just say this. The earth and all the abundance in the earth, all the gold, the silver, the diamonds, all the wealth in the earth is not evil. It's not bad. Now, what the devil has taken it and perverted it and done with it is evil. You with me? Come on now, act like you like me anyway. Make me keep digging trying to find you here. Okay? He made everything. And by the way, not anything he made has ever left this planet. It's all still here. He made everything and he said, "Whoa, man, that is good." Okay, stay with me now. Let's back up a couple verses to 27. It says, "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moveth.'" And he goes on and says, "Have dominion over everything, herbs, plants, trees. Have dominion over all of my creation." Now that word dominion means supreme authority. It means absolute ownership. That's important that you remember that. And so it says he made man, and it says then he blessed them. Blessed them. He blessed them. He put divine favor on them. I mean, if you got divine favor, you don't really have to worry about anything else. And that's what I hope you're getting out of all this stuff, is that you go after him. Go after his favor. Go after his anointing. Go after his presence. But he blessed them. He put divine favor on them. He caused them to prosper. He caused them, he made them prosper. He made them prosper in abundance. He blessed them with all the gifts from heaven. Blessed. How many think it's a pretty good idea to be blessed? I think I'll take a little bit of that blessed. How about you? Matter of fact, I want to be blessed indeed. I don't want a little bit. I want everything you got for me, God. I don't want yours, Randy. I don't want yours, Kenny. I just want what he's got for me. You with me? So listen, God's nature is to bless. The very first thing he did when he created everything, he blessed them. Are you with me? He blessed them. He made man and he in male and female, and he blessed them. Now, how did God bless them? I mean, what did he use to bless them? Now, this is elementary, but you got to get it. He used the earth and all of its creation. He used everything he had created to bless the man. He gave it over to man. He said, "Here, you have supreme authority. You have absolute ownership. It's yours. Now, walk with me, and I'm going to show you a trip of a lifetime." You see, so the earth and everything in it is the vehicle. It's the means. Well, money isn't important to me. Well, I don't want all that gold. You know, I tell you what, if you had a couple hunks of that gold, it wouldn't be too bad. But what I want you to see is we religiously think that all that stuff's bad. Well, it's not bad. The use of some of it has been bad. So he made all this and he gave to him. And now we know what happened. We know the enemy came in and stole the blessing and perverted it and used it for evil. Huh? You look at all the evil in the world, isn't there wealth behind the evil in the world? If you don't understand that, turn the news on for a few minutes. He took what God gave man and he began to pervert it. He stole it and he used it for evil. Now let me ask you a question. If the devil stole what God created to bless his man, and the devil stole that and started using it to curse the man, to pull him away from God, if he stole that, doesn't it make sense that God would want to take that back and use it for good? Now let me ask you, do you think God would rather have a whole bunch of money in your bank account? Or would he rather have a whole bunch of it in some ISIS member? Some Taliban guy? Well, now the enemy's made sure they have plenty in their bank accounts. And they're able to sponsor terror all over the world. But what would happen if some of his kids would begin to take some of this back and start to use it for good in the earth? I mean, is that logical? What did Jesus say in Luke 10:19? He said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Okay, what was lost? Is it okay if we just talk in regular English today and just talk where we can understand it? What was lost? Well, you say man was lost. Well, of course, man was the most important thing to God that was lost, but we'll get to that in a minute. Right now, we're talking about all the rest of His creation. Huh? That was lost. When Adam disobeyed God, when he decided to respond to the devil's words instead of God's word, he gave it up. Now, he still has dominion. He still is called the God of this world. Paul called him that. Jesus called him that. Whenever the devil went to God about Job, and he said, "Oh yeah, but if you'll just take everything away, if you'll just take all his wealth away," and what did God say to him? You ought to read it for yourself. God said, "That's already under your control." In the temptation, when the devil took Jesus up he took him up and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, "All these I'll give to you because they've been delivered to me and I can give them to whoever I choose to." You with me? It's been delivered to me. Who delivered it to him? Adam delivered it to him. Are you with me? Stay with me. So a man lost everything. So who do you think came to get everything back? A man. His name was Jesus. That's why he was called the Son of Man, not the Son of God. He came back as a person, and he passed the test that Adam failed. See, when the devil was offered him all that, the devil said, hey, take a shortcut. I can give you all this. Take a shortcut. And you know, I can hear Jesus. Of course, we know he said it's written. But Jesus already knew he was getting all that. He already knew all that belonged to him. And he was going to take it back. You with me? So how did man lose everything God created? Now catch this. God told man something. God gave man his word. The devil came and twisted that word around and got him to stop being obedient to God's word and start being obedient to what he said. The words were important. What God said was what was going to sustain Adam. So he lost it with words. Now the devil has it. Did you know that all, how many know there's a lot of evil in the world? How many know all that evil didn't manifest all at once? I mean, it happened over a gradual, I mean, the second Adam sinned, all this evil wasn't here all at once. No. How did all the evil get here? The devil had to go. See, man still had the ability to create. Now he still, when he spoke words, they still created things, but now he was just listening to the wrong God. And so how did the enemy get in here and start taking over the creation? He started taking in by getting man to operate different than God operated. By getting him to think different words than God said. What happened after a little bit? Cain killed Abel. And if you trace it through, just inch by inch, little by little, and how many know the world is still getting evil? Can I tell you something? We haven't even seen the extent of evil. You will if you go to hell. But none of you have to go there. And I'm believing none of you will go there. This is my point. God said we should not eat of this and this and this. No, God didn't say that. God didn't say. He said you couldn't eat of every tree. And Eve said, no, he said we could eat of every tree in the garden except one. Well, he twisted the words and said, no, said, but you can't eat of every tree. And when that happened, and then how this thing progressed, how he took over creation was a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. When man began to speak the thoughts that the devil was giving him instead of the thoughts that God was giving him, then it all went south. Are you with me? You're not. Okay, let's start back over. Go to 1 Chronicles. Oh, no. Okay, now listen. Jesus came to get back everything the devil stole. How many know he did that? If you don't read your Bible, the Bible says he did. Says he made a show of them openly. Said he triumphed over them. Said he got back everything that the enemy stole. Now, so let me ask you this. So how does God take all this back now? What did God say to Jesus when he sat down on his right side? He said, "Sit here till I make your enemies your footstool." Let me ask you, is poverty an enemy? Is sickness an enemy? Is depression an enemy? Sit here till I make your enemies your footstool. Okay, so now, if the devil gained control of all this by pumping his thoughts into the man that God had created, and then he through that he was able to overtake this, how is God take it back? Jesus got it all back for us. How many know we're not all living in everything Jesus got back for us? Huh? Anybody had a cold lately? Anybody had any physical problems later? Anybody had too much month left at the end of your money lately? See, we're not living. Jesus got it all back. How many ever thought, well, if you got it all back, how come I'm not living in it? How come it's not happening for me? Jesus got it back. So how does God take it back then? With men and women. As we begin to operate the Word, as we begin to operate, the Word is just the kingdom of God rules. As we begin to live the Word, think the Word, read the Word, speak the Word, what did God say? He said, you can't live by bread alone, Jesus said, but every word that proceeds out of his mouth. So how did God, when God wanted to do something in the earth, now just stay with me real quick. And when he wanted to do something in the earth, what did he do? He didn't send angels down to do it. He might send an angel down to talk to a man to get a man to do it, because before it could happen, he had to get a man to agree with him and say, yes, I'll do it. That's what he did with Abraham. He came down and he said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to make you a blessing. And he said, this is what I want you to do. And basically what he wanted him to do, he wanted him to live for him, and he wanted to tell his kids to live for him, and he wanted to teach his kids to tell his kids. He wanted to get his words back in the earth. And what he told Abraham to do, Abraham did it. You want to know why he had all that gold and silver, and why he had all those herds, and why he had all that, and why him and Lot had so much that the land couldn't even hold them, they had to split up? You want to know why? Because Abraham simply did what God told him. You with me? Did the word. So why does God want us to possess our land? Why did he want Israel to possess the promised land? Because that's what he had promised. He wanted them to go do what he told them to do so he could bless them. So everybody could look at them and say, man, those people are blessed. And they did, if you read through the Old Testament. Why does God want us then to possess our land? Why is that important? Now listen to me. I had a visit with a guy the other night. I'm not telling you to work harder. I'm telling you to believe harder. The working harder didn't come into effect until Adam gave it all away. And God said, okay, now you're going to have to work for it. I can't just give it to you. Oh, some of you sitting there, you know. And if you get a revelation of what I'm saying, man, your life will never be the same. So what did Abraham do? Abraham began to possess. He began to confess. He began to go and possess his land. Why are we supposed to possess our land? Because we bring God glory whenever we take something back out of the creation that the devil stole. What did he tell Abraham? He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing. Okay, let me ask you, why does God want to bless us? Well, one reason is so we can bless others. That's not hard, huh? I mean, wouldn't it be nice? You're standing in the grocery store line and you see the person in front of them and they're digging, trying to find enough money to pay for it. And wouldn't it be nice to just go, hey, let me get that for them. Y'all go on and have a good day. Jesus loves you. Huh? Well, now I'm not going to ask. I want to ask, but don't raise your hand. How many of us have ever been in the position that it would have been good if somebody would have been able to do that? Well, the government's not supposed to have to do that. Christians are supposed to do that. We're supposed to be walking in the place with God where whatever the need, we're able to meet the need. Well, look at 2 Corinthians. God wants to bless us so we can bless others. 2 Corinthians. Listen to what Paul said. He said, but this I say, He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And we usually preach this before an offering to get you to give more, right? But we're not taking an offering. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, everybody say all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it's written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, though his righteousness endures forever. Do you understand what Paul's saying here? Paul's not preaching a poverty message here. He's saying, I want all of God's grace to abound towards you. And I want you to have so much that every good work, you're able to help it. Well, I'm going to get to the place. I'm working towards that mark. I'm going to get to the place when I say, hey, you know, we need to get this much money to send our kids to camp, that after I say it, I can go write a check to pay it all. What did he say here? He says, I want you to have more than enough. Everybody say more than enough. How many's always had enough or not quite enough? How many know it'd be great to have more than enough? See, now you think that that's called the prosperity gospel that we curse. No, that's one of God's names, El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. I had a guy come to my church once in Paragould, and he said we're going to take an offering up Thursday night, and it's going to be the biggest offering you ever taken up in this church. And I'm going, yeah, okay, yeah, I've heard all this stuff, you know. Long story short, I said, well, now hold it. I said, now, because it's getting time for this offering, and I said, now hold it. I need to know, are you taking up an offering for you? Well, it was John Avezzini, and he was pastor here. I said, you taking up an offering for you? You taking up an offering for Central? You taking up an offering for us? What are you doing? He just looked at me and said, I just want you to have more than enough. And did you know what? He told me what the offering would be, and the offering was that to the penny. And it was a bigger offering than we had ever taken up, combined in a whole month's offerings. What will you believe? Well, I just don't believe all that. Well, I know, but I'm trying to get you to change what you're thinking, what you believe in. Because as long as you think that way, you don't ever have to worry about it. Huh? God still loves you? Because nothing will change that love for you. Nothing can stop that love for you. But you just can't get the victory over the devil that you need to get. You hearing me? See, we're in the process of taking back what the devil stole. Now listen, I know, I believe with all my heart, Jesus is going to come back in the flesh. He's going to come back and set his kingdom up here on the earth. And everything's not going to be fixed and the way it's supposed to be till he does that. But we're supposed to be working that direction. Listen to me. Gary, he's got to have somebody that can run cities. When he comes back and sets his kingdom up, he's got to have somebody that can run states. Somebody that can run cities. You with me? He's going to have somebody that knows enough how to operate his creation so he can get this thing rolling.
Well, I'm just waiting to go to heaven. I'm just waiting.
Yeah, but you're not going to stay there. You're going to come back. He didn't give you a body, and you're not getting a new body to stay in heaven. You don't need bodies in heaven. You need bodies on the earth. The God of more than enough. I got a roll here. So now let me go a little bit deeper with this, okay? Look at Deuteronomy 8. Because I want to go, okay, we're talking about the reason why. Deuteronomy 8. Let me read first verse 18. It says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." He says, I'm going to give you the ability. It's me that gives you the ability to get wealth. Now, what's he talking about getting wealth? He's talking about what he just said. He just got through saying in verse 7, he said, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, of springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you'll eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you will dig copper, and when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you." Now, do you understand what he's saying here? You say, well, I don't want grapes and olive oil. Hold it. They didn't have a Quick Trip to run down to. They didn't have a Walmart to run to. You understand what he's saying? I'm taking you into a good land, and I'm going to supply every need you have. Well, what was the result of that? What did that produce in their lives? He goes on here in 12 and says, "Lest when you have eaten and are full, and you've built beautiful houses and dwelt in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply," you hear me? "And when your silver and your gold are multiplied," are you hearing me? "And when all that you have is multiplied," I want you to understand what the blessing is. But he says when all that happens, the whole gist of why he's saying this, what he's going to do in our lives isn't in question. He's saying all this, but when it happens, you remember it was me that gave you the ability to get it done. When it all happens, don't think for a second it was because you were so smart. Don't think it was for a second because you made all the right choices. No, it was the hand of God on you. He's increased your territory. His mighty hand is on you. His anointing is on you. Now stay with me. Because let's get to some more reason why here. He says here that he may establish his covenant with you. That he may establish his covenant with you. The word establish means to confirm. The blessings of God on your life are the confirmation that God's made a deal with you. And that you've taken him up on the deal that he offered. You with me? This is, I'm trying to make this so simple that you just go, oh, that's just too good to be true. Because that's what this gospel is. It's just too good to be true. And verse 6 says why he's doing it here. He says, "Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him." Okay, now listen to what he's saying here. He's saying, Hank, my desire for you is that you do everything I tell you. That you do everything I tell you, that you listen to me, and that you walk with me. And that you will reverence and honor me. And I will take you in to possess your land. come after me, Hank, and I'll bring you into your land. Okay, what out of all the lineage in Chronicles here, the lineage of Judah, God's saying, so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and their sons begot this sons, and this begot. I mean, oh, my brain goes tilt with all those begots, and I just kind of start floating through it, you know. But what made him as he's going through 40-some names down, and he stops, his whole but Jabez! Woo! He was honorable! What made him, and as soon as he got done, he says he gave Jabez what he had, and he went right on back into so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so. Then you get lost again. What made him stop and go, oh, but Jabez? Little insignificant Jabez. Kind of reminds me of 2 Chronicles 16:9, where it says, the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro across the earth, just looking for anybody whose heart's towards Him, so He can prove Himself strong, so He can do great and mighty things for them in their lives. Huh? What got him to stop? Well, first off, he was praying, asking God for what, and we'll get to that in another lesson here. He was asking God for what God had promised. Blessing, territory. Abraham, look, as far as you can see, buddy's yours. Your hand be on him. I'll take you into your land. Protect me from the enemy. I'll make your enemies, they'll come at you one way, but they'll flee two ways or seven ways or whatever it is. I'll make your enemies, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Man, I'll defeat the enemy for you. He's just praying, but here's what I want you to get. This is what I want you to see. The whole heart of this prayer that Jabez prayed. Jabez's heart, he was a man who craved a relationship with his God. Are you hearing me? He was a man that craved a relationship. He asked for everything that God had promised. He said, I want to walk in all you have for me, God. I want a relationship with you. Does that make sense? God never told us to go after wealth. Or, you know, make it our priority. If you're going after it, there's going to be some times whenever you're going to have to divert some attention to it. You can't just be an airhead. Spend more than you want, more than you make, and charge up every charge card and all the rest of this and do all these silly things. We'll get to that another time. He never told us to make this wealth his priority. No, but we should expect it. Why? Well, because Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, if you'll seek God and his kingdom first, he'll add all this stuff to you. Huh? Just walk with me. Just walk with me and I'll take care of everything else. What did he say in Deuteronomy 28? He said, if you'll hearken to my word, or if you'll diligently seek to do my word, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Y'all go home and read Deuteronomy 28, the first half. Go ahead and read the second half and find out what's happened when you don't. Diligently seek him. What's he talking about here? He's talking about when we go after him, when we do what he says, the blessings come on us and overtake us. As we begin to operate his word, this whole thing begins to be put in the process. As we begin to operate his word in our life, we begin to take possession of our land, our territory. Over and over and over. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He said, if you'll hear my commandments, if you can keep them, he said, I'll come and manifest myself to you. He said, if you'll abide in me and let my words abide in you, you'll be able to ask anything you will, anything you desire, and it'll be done. He said, up till this time, you haven't asked anything in my name, but ask so your joy will be full. So Father will be glorified in the Son. He says, but over and over, it's keep my commandment. Now listen, he's not saying keep a set of rules. He's saying, listen to what I say. Listen to what I say. That's why you ought to have this book. You ought to just stay and bury your nose in this book and just stay there for a while. Because when he says something to you, he's not going to say something that's different in this book. He's going to say something that's different than you've been taught out of this book. But when he gives you that rhema, see, the Logos is the written word of God. Oh, but when the Holy Spirit comes and magnifies that and gives you a revelation of what it says, that becomes rhema in your life and you speak it and it causes something to happen. He's saying, hey, Hank, come operate my word. Come walk with me. Listen to me. Just live with me. Walk with me. Hear me, and blessings will come. Got to hurry here. Hebrews 8 real quick. We're talking about the covenant. He says that I'll establish my covenant with you. Gives us the ability to get wealth so he can establish his covenant. That's what he said in the Old Testament. Now, in Hebrews 8, he says, now then, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. Talking about Jesus. Inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant. Doesn't mean leave the old covenant out. It just means the old covenant plus some more stuff. Hear me? A better covenant which was established on better promises. On down to verse 10. For this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel. Now, you know, if you're born again, you're adopted into the family of God, into the house of Israel. I'll make with it, after these days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws in their minds and in their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. He goes on here and says, know the Lord. Down to 12, he says, and I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I'll remember no more. Hear what God's saying. He's saying, hey, now through Jesus, I got a better deal for you. And what I want is, I want to be your God. And I want you to be my children. And I want us to walk together. I want us to be together. I want to have the relationship with you, Scott, that I had with Adam. Hear God's heart. What was the thing that was lost that Jesus came to restore? The Father of this whole universe wants a relationship with you. Read John 14, 15, 16. Read it. We got it all out of proportion, but just read it with this kind of thing in the back of your mind. What Jesus is doing here, he's telling them, he says, hey, I am going to prepare a place for you. He starts talking about his relationship with the Father. The place he's going to prepare for us is the same place with the Father that he has. Read it. He says, I don't do anything. The Father doesn't tell me. The words I speak are the words he speaks. And it goes on and says, if you believe in me, you'll be able to do what I do. And not only that, you'll be able to do greater things. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go do all the legal work. I'm going to go do everything it takes to get this done. I'm gonna live a sinless life because I know you can't, Hank. But I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to go to that cross, and I'm going to give my life. I'm going to become the sacrificial lamb for you. I'm going to take all your sins that you ever did and that you ever will do. I'm going to take them all on myself. I'm going to take all the anger that God has towards sin and the sin in your life. I'm going to take all that anger on myself. And I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to give my life. I'm going to shed my blood for your remission. And then I'm going to leave my body here. And I've got the physical work done now. I'm going to leave my body here and I'm going to go down into the dark dungeons. I'm going to go down into the pits of hell. I'm going to go down into the center of the earth and I'm going to take care of the spiritual stuff now. And the Bible says he made a show of him openly. He said he defeated him. He put him under his feet. And when God said that's enough, when God raised him from the dead, that power that raised him from the dead was that power that he puts in us. But Jesus said, okay, he said, I'm going to, the Bible says that when he died, said the veil was ripped in the temple from the top to the bottom. Didn't start from the bottom to the top. It started, God reached down and ripped it. The veil was the only thing that separated God's presence from everyday ordinary people, of whom I'm one. Never again will anything separate us. And Jesus said, and I came back. He came back and got his body. And he gathered up all the blood. So you think that blood just soaked into the ground and into the cross. No, God had every drop of that blood. And Jesus came back and gathered every bit of that blood up and he took it into heaven and he poured that blood that he had shed on the mercy seat. And then he sat down next to the Father. He has still got his physical body. Never again will you have a high priest that won't understand what you feel, that won't understand what you go through. Never again will you have to worship an angel. You have a Savior now that has a body, that he gave that body for you. Never again will there be a Savior. Never again will there be a separation between spiritual and physical, between God and his creation. That's why we have that great high priest sitting there. And he sat down next to the Father, and then he said, now I'm going to send my Holy Spirit back so he can show you how to do all this. He's going to lead you into all this. He's going to lead you into your land. Does that make sense? I'll do all the work, Hank. And then all you have to do is receive it by faith. I'll do all the work. I'll do everything necessary. And all you have to do is receive it by faith and start to walk in it. It's not faith if you're not walking in it. Are you with me? All you got to do, Hank, is receive my faith. Receive my goodness by faith. Now, I want to get you this last thought before you leave and get this. He says, I will establish my covenant. Now, it's easy to think of God establishing his covenant. It's easy to think of it in a broad range. Oh, God loves the whole world. Yeah, but he loves you. It's easy to think of this covenant. I'll establish my covenant in the earth. Oh, yeah, and all God's people. Listen to me. He made this personal. He says, Hank, Scott, Terry, Billy, I want to establish my covenant with you. What's the covenant? He came down and made a deal with Abraham. You do this. No, he didn't even say that. He said, I'll do this and then you do this. He didn't say, do this and earn it, because it was the covenant of faith. He said, no, I'll do this. And then you see, that's what he said. Now, I'll do this in your life. Now, you do this. Listen to me. Listen to me. He wants to establish his covenant with you. He wants to make a personal deal with you. Get everyone else and set everyone else over here. You need to make your own deal. Boy, I have just destroyed some religion in here today. Let me tell you how my deal went. And I keep upping my deal. Because every time I read this prayer, I up my deal some more. But my deal, 44 years ago next Saturday, February the 10th, my deal was, God, I don't have anything to offer you, but I've got me, and I'm giving you me. He said, that's all I want. And I made my deal with him. I said, Father, I'm going to receive the price you paid for me, and I'm going to live for you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do it the rest of my days. It's you first and everything else second. That was my deal I made. Now, a lot of times we fall short of our deals. At least I do. But when I catch myself going the different direction, I repent. Repentance just means you quit going that way and you turn and go God's way. And I've got a Holy Spirit that when I get off track, he goes, whoop, 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 come on, come on. Sometimes I'm 2 miles down the road before you can get the rein pulled in. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? That's what I want you to hear. Make your deal. He wants to make a covenant with you. He wants to make a deal with you. See, if I make my deal with him, I'm not paying attention to his deal with you. If you seem to be getting blessed more than I'm getting blessed, that's none of my business. I'm focusing on my deal with him. Now, if I see you getting blessed more, I can say, well, God, now I'd like some of that. But my deal is, God, I'm going after you with all my heart. Your deal is you give me all that stuff. See, if I've made my deal with him, when it doesn't happen as fast as I think it is, my gratification is not on the blessing I get. My gratification is in the relationship I have with my Lord and Savior and Heavenly Father. Whew. Holy Spirit, help us hear what we've said. You just amaze me every time. You just amaze me every time. You, as you're reading this prayer this week, you need to make your deal with God. See, because his will for your life is going to be different than his will for my life. And everybody might not be a millionaire. It doesn't matter if you're where you're supposed to be, because you have the peace of God in your life. But he wants all of you to have more than enough. Are you with me? Get your eyes off the blessing. Believe for it. Expect it. Have a confident expectation of those things you hope for. But my faith in God is the assurance. My trust in him, because I know he doesn't lie. I know everything he says is the truth. And if I don't have it figured out yet, then I just got to dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper. Well, I'll just ask you this. Have you made a deal? Have you made your deal with him? See, your deal starts out, Jesus, I give you my life. It doesn't start out, oh, I don't want to go to hell, Lord. Someone say the little prayer Hank says. No, it starts out, Jesus, I give you my life. And I want to live for you. I make you my Lord. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to miss the mark. But you didn't miss it, Jesus. So I'm trusting in you. And what you did. I'm trusting in you. I'm trading all my bad that I've done, all my bad that I'll ever do. I'm trading it for all your good. Now help me live my life for you. And if you're here today and you're not saved, that's how simple it is. So right now, I want you to just ask him to come into your heart. Give him your life. Say, God, I don't know what you can do with me. When I was sitting there, when I came to him 44 years ago, I had two pair of jeans and they had patches, and patches weren't in style then. I mean, you didn't go pay $100 for a pair of jeans that was already ripped up. I didn't have anything, and I said, God, I'm living for you. I'm living for you. I give you my life. If you haven't done that, I hope you'll do that right now. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. If you did that, or if you didn't do it and you want to, as soon as I dismiss you here, come on down here. I got a little book I want to give you, help you get on your way with the Lord. A little book works, doesn't it, Paul? I want to come down and I want to pray with you. If you haven't asked Jesus into your life, we want to pray with you and help you do that. If you have, I want to pray for you and get you strengthened. Okay? Most important thing. But make your own deal with God. Does anybody think, maybe you don't know for sure yet, but think you might have gotten something from God today? Well, just keep aiming that direction. I mean, he'll start talking to me and I go, God, I'm not for sure. I'm not for sure if I heard what I thought I heard, but just you lead me, Holy Spirit. You help me. Everybody stand. If you need to come down for anything, if you need to be baptized, we'll baptize you. If you're fighting a physical battle and you need to be anointed with oil, we'll anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith for you. If you need to be saved, we'll pray with you and get you saved. If you have, we'll pray with you and ask God's blessing on your life. How about that? But right now, I speak his blessing into you, and I just believe him to take you into all he has for you. Everybody say something with me real quick. God, I want all you have for me. I don't want all you have for anybody else. I want all you have for me. I want your will to be done in my life. Hey, I love you. You be blessed. Thank you for putting up with me. But I believe God to do some big things in your life. If you hadn't started reading the book yet, Prayer of Jabez, haven't started praying the prayer, get on it. Get on it. God's doing some miraculous things. I love you, and I'll see you next time. If you need to come, come.